Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I am your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Sherry Rigby. Sherry is on the show today talking about, as women in the world, we face extraordinary pressure to pursue a great calling and perform to prove our worth. This pressure breeds anxiety, and we often find ourselves toiling and spinning, as Jesus described. Sherry herself, she was striving to find purpose in the competitive environment of Hollywood, and she is reminding us that our purpose and significance have already been spoken by God. Through her devotional, Consider the Lilies, and in today's episode, Sherry guides us back to the scriptures to discover the will of God for our lives and remind us of our inherent value. Well, hello, Sherry, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Hey, Rachel. Good to be with you today. I'm excited.
So you are I wish people could see you because you are so beautiful. You're a model and you're an actress in Hollywood. What do you love most about your career? What drew you to that line of work to begin with?
Yeah, well, that's such a great question. And I love kicking it off with that because it really wasn't something that I pursued. As a little girl, I remember growing up in, I grew up in a very small town. And one of my greatest forms of entertainment was losing myself at the movie theater. I mean, I would sit in this old broken down movie theater and watch, you know, movie after movie. And that was the highlight of this little town that I lived in. But really after that, you know, years had passed and there's so much to my story. But to answer that part of the specific question was, my husband and I were, we had just had our youngest son and we were hopeful for another baby. I was ready just to be a stay-at-home mama and have lots of kids. And the Lord, though, that was not in his plan. And so I found out quickly that I wasn't going to have any more children after our son, Levi. And so I was literally, my husband and I had started a coffee shop in our church called Hebrews. And I was devastated trying to figure out what God was going to do with my life. Cause here I was in this perfect marriage, perfect situation, godly man, finally, after all these years. And, a man came in with his wife and two children and I started pouring him coffee and he asked me if I had ever thought about doing commercials. And it was just one of those moments where you kind of take a step back and so I ended up stepping out in faith and going on an audition that he had invited me to and had absolutely no idea what I was doing or what I was getting myself into, but God did. And sometimes it's just that, right? It's like literally not just stepping out of the boat, but it's kind of like jumping out of the boat. And so I went on this audition, a room full of 100 people deep. And because I felt like there was no way I was going to get this job, I just kind of went in and did my thing and left and ended up getting the job. And sometimes I guess that's the best kind of mindset to be in. And so that really was the beginning of a process for me. And God knew exactly where he was going to take me from that particular point. So for there, I started doing commercials. I was working, doing national campaigns for American Airlines and Suzuki and Mercedes and print catalogs. And then started booking small films that were coming through Arizona at the time until he took me to Los Angeles.
I love so much about that, Sherry, because as the listeners know, my devotional coming out is called A Little Goes a Long Way. And I think what you just described in your life, it truly is little steps, little moments, little opportunities, little open doors that you just say, okay, Lord, yes, I'm going to walk through whatever you have for me. And then look how far. It's so much easier to look back on our lives and say like, God, oh, this makes sense why you had me on this path. But in the midst of it, I wondered, you know, so many of us get discouraged, like, well, gosh, how am I ever going to get there? You know, so many people can look, oh, you're an actress in Hollywood. Wow. You know, and it is a wow moment. God has done such great things in your life, but do you think that it has happened in little moments? Do you have anything else to say kind of on that journey?
Absolutely. I think the little moments are so significant. And so often we bypass them as being insignificant. And we don't even think about how relative they are in our lives. And those are decisions. And I think that's where it gets me with the Holy Spirit. You really have to lean in and listen, because things that, you know, we think so often that everything's got to be big and elaborate, and it's just got to be, you know, this mind-blowing situation for it to be God. And really, he's in the small things. And he says, when, you know, when you're faithful in the little things, then I give you, you know, more. And so, you know, I specifically saw that. I have a great story and I'll never, ever forget this. And I'd love to share it with you, but I remember, you know, specifically even about going for this audition that I just shared with you. I had heard a woman speak by the name of Daisy, and her whole message was really about, you know, not just getting out of the boat, but jumping and being mindful of the things that God lays before you, and not missing them. Even when it comes down to significant conversations, like, are we in the moment or are we so far ahead of it that we're not, you know, are we thinking more about what's going on in our future or in our past than being in the moment? And so I had this really, this incredible moment happened to me. I was in Los Angeles and I was filming a pickup day is what we call it, after the film had been made and we had to do a pickup day. And my niece at the time had just won a very famous talent show on television. And so I was there filming, and I was going to be meeting her and my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and we were going to spend some time together. And as I was done filming, she at the time had been mentored and brought up by a gentleman by the name of Chaz Corzine, who was the manager to Michael W. Smith and lots of very famous people in the music industry. And I had never met Chaz, didn't know anything about him except had heard his name for years. And so I end up though, get done, I'm done shooting for the day. My niece is doing some work. They have been invited to this very posh hotel to meet them and to spend the evening with them. And I get there before they get back, and I go in, and of course I can't say who she is to, you know, nobody, they're like, oh, you want us to let you in her room? And you, no, we don't think so, because your name's not on here. And they look at you like you're crazy in the first place. Like they don't even know who that person is. And it's this little tiny, you know, posh hotel in the hills. And so I go in to sit down to eat, and I'm facing the door, and there's this huge fireplace on one side and these two chairs. And so I go in and I thought, well, I'm going to sit down. I'm a mess. I've been filming all day long. And all of a sudden this man walks in and he sits down and he sits in front of the fireplace facing me, and I can see him from my table, and I feel and I hear the Lord speak to me as clear as day. And he says, get up and go introduce yourself. This is Chaz Corzine. And I'm like, no, because if I go introduce myself to this man in this little hotel, he's going to think that I'm selling something else. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so the next thing I know, I just go back to eating, and the Lord nudges me again. And when we're thinking about the little significant things in our lives, do we answer when we're called, no matter where we're at? And no matter how sometimes crazy they sound. So sure enough, I hear the voice again, and I finally get up and I go introduce myself. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess that I'm supposed to come over here, but are you Chaz Corzine? And this man looks at me and he's like, I don't, or who are you? And it, and the next thing I know, he goes, yeah, I am. Now, the point of this entire story is him and I got 5 minutes together, if that, before my family members, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my niece walk in the door. And I, nice to meet you, nice to meet you. I run off with my sister-in-law, my niece, my mother-in-law stays to chat with him. The next morning, I'm running on Sunset Boulevard and I'm crying out to God. I'm literally crying out to God going, why do you have me here? Why do these things keep happening? What is it that you want me to do with this career or this thing? I don't know what you want or who you have for me. My phone rings as I'm bawling my eyes out. And as I answer it, he says, hi, Sherry, this is Chaz Corzine. I'm wondering what you're doing today. I'd like to take you around to everybody that I know in Hollywood, starting at CBS Radford, and then calling Jim Caviezel, you know, the guy that played Jesus, to talk to him about maybe how we get you started and to see if you really have it. Now, that's a long story, but to tell you the significance of it in those small things that you asked about is when we don't step out in faith in the small things, look what I could have missed. This man is who launched my career in the faith world and really was the person who gave me an opportunity to get my first job with the Irwin Brothers, which has launched me all the way to the career that I have now. Now, what if I wouldn't have listened to the voice of the Lord and gotten up and done what he wanted me to do in that small, probably to a lot of people, very insignificant moment?
Oh, Sherry, that is such an inspiring story. And I love every ounce of it. And I'm just thinking about how many encounters we have every single day.
Every day.
Divine appointments. And, you know, in that moment, you were tired. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sitting in that chair, you had worked a long day. And like, you know, you move past the fear and the awkwardness and all the things. And so often God does work through those ways. It's like, you've got to push past being uncomfortable and then look what I'm going to do. And I just love so much about that. So thank you for sharing that. And you know, something else, you're also a founder of the Women in My World, which is a group for women focusing on identity, purpose, ministry, and living in Hollywood. So I'd love for you to tell us more about your heart for this ministry.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when we talk about significant things that the Lord does and places that he takes us and us recognizing those things, when I went to Hollywood finally in 2009, when the Lord called my husband and I there, I started studying with a gentleman by the name of John Kirby. And he just this incredible instructor, and he works with, you know, people like Jim Caviezel and Chrissy Metz and all these very big stars and, you know, Jeff Bridges. And so I was sitting in this little broken down, you know, acting class in Hollywood, and I was about ready to quit because I just was not getting what was being put down in front of me. And I was always comparing myself to all of these other people who were very talented and working, you know, in Hollywood. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and he said, you're here for my women. And he just continued to lead me through the process and speaking to me. And he said, I want you to bring together women, and I want you to first praise my name for all that I've done. And secondly, pray. And so before I knew it, I started to bring women together into my home, and I went from 2 to 25 overnight, and we met every Tuesday. And that's where we really started to sharpen ourselves. And the Women in My World began to grow. And we just did our soft launch on our website, thewomeninmyworld.org. And we've really developed into a place now where we are now helping to, we've become a nonprofit. And with the women now, it's several hundred women deep. We actually provide education and resources and tools to put women in places of entertainment and media so that they can actually be a powerful voice, a Christ-focused voice to those in entertainment and media. And so the Women in My World was really birthed through that time in 2009. And here we are today, and we are just blown away. But to see what God has done, he's, you know, sharpened us in our identity and our prayer life and the attributes of who he is, and just to be able to empower one another to do everything that God's called us to do has been incredible. So that's the Women in My World, and we're looking to just birth and be bigger than ever before.
Yeah, I love, because I'm just thinking about, of course, I'm a Kentucky girl, small town Kentucky girl, and thinking about what life must be like in Hollywood, the pressures, and just for you to be, and we need to be a light no matter where we live. You know, there's darkness right. No matter where we are. But I just imagine the pressures are even harder where you are to have a firm foundation in the Lord and to continue sharing him. And in fact, I'm looking at you and you have a cross around your neck. And I just think what an opportunity you have to continue to share the gospel with those around you.
Yeah, and I love that. And then thank you for saying that. I think that we forget so often to be praying for Hollywood and to be praying for entertainment and media in general. It's really the first thing that actually people, and especially in our culture today, are influenced by. They'll make a decision on, you know, anything from what they're purchasing in their for their groceries to their clothes to their education to their politics. And a lot of it's just dictated by entertainment and media, and we have to be a voice in a dark place. And I really believe that God, he is the God of creation. And so he is the greatest storyteller of all time. And I think we need to be voices where we can not only go back and take back the entertainment industry, but we need to be able to love on and share the message of Jesus to all those that are broken, because we're all broken, we're all messy. And so, you know, and that's what I love about being in the work that I'm in.
Well, you're now also an author, and you have written a devotional titled Consider the Lilies, and it's a 40-day devotional. Mm-hmm. And it really, Sherry, it's stunning. It's stunningly beautiful. And I just love the message behind it. So I'm assuming that it was inspired from the Bible verse found in Luke 12:27. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. But it was really inspired by all of these beautiful lilies that the Lord has brought to my door, all these incredibly, you know, beautiful women, and just being, you know, reminding them, because we all go through these places of toiling and spinning, mm-hmm. and he wants to remind us how precious we are to him. And so that, yeah. So between, you know, all these incredible women that I get to be a part of their lives and them part of my lives, it's just a reminder of how God has created these lilies and how he doesn't want them to toil nor spin. And he's planted us in these places to grow and flourish.
Yeah. You know, my devotional is all about significance, and it releases tomorrow, October the 4th. And I just love how God valued the flowers in the field. That is such a special moment, I feel like, when the Lord says that. So how does knowing how much God cares for us change how we feel about our identity?
Ah, oh, such a great question. I think knowing how God cares about us is so important. I think digging into his word every day and spending time with him to start our day off is so significant, because he's speaking to us, and he speaks through the living word, and he's empowering and filling us. I think that as the lilies, you know, of the field, we have to be reminded that, you know, he does plant us in these places so that we can grow significantly in where we're placed. And the thing that I love about lilies specifically is that when they're planted down deep. And what they do before they ever spring forth into bloom is they plant multiple colonies. And I think that's so powerful in the imagery that we see as women, even that we come together. He's created us so unique that we form colonies, that we grow not only a surface, but we really do grow these deep, deep intentional roots within the relationships of women. And then how do we take all of the attributes that God of who he is and call on him in specific times to shower us, you know, the Abba, you know, that's where we see the goodness of God and how he pours forth in us so that we know who we are and whose we are, so we can walk in that power day in and day out. But that's really staying plugged into the vine, you know, and I think it's just significant for us to be able to know who and whose we are, but we got to be in the word to know it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, what's coming to mind right now is in the book of John, it's the only way we can bear much fruit is by staying connected to the vine and like digging those deeper roots. And I love that. I actually didn't know that about lilies and their colonies underneath. That's yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're dug, they have to go down so deep. They have to put the bulbs so deep into the rich soil. It's not a surface one. It has to go down very deep so that because of how strong and sturdy the root is, but how lush and strong also the flower is when it blooms. It's got got to have those deep roots in order for it to actually hold on to the flower when it blooms because of how hardy it is. And I think that's such a powerful picture for us as women too, because when we go through times of feeling like we're in a season of, you know, not growing, but it's this, you know, this like season of kind of dark or wherever we're at, you know, we have to know that God is really pouring forth into these rich nutrients so that when we do bloom, we can withstand what God has planned for us. I think it's just a powerful picture.
It is. And then I'm just even thinking about, you know, this is the love offering, but I'm thinking about, you know, flowers and the fragrant offering that we can leave for the Lord. And it makes me want to plant some lilies, if I'm being honest, doesn't it?
It does. It makes you want to like get out there and get into the rich, deep dirt and see how because then they're dormant for a while. And then when you get to finally see them, there's so many things that really are just so beautiful and so remind us of the Lord. I mean, I think that's why he used, you know, the lilies and in King Solomon's, you know, in the temple, and how, you know, this flower is just very significant, all the way down to the deep roots. And I love in John where, when you were talking about the fruit, you know, that's something I always say, and I shared about this in the devotional, we have to do fruit checks on our own life. Are we actually, you know, being fruitful? Are we ready to bloom so that we can be fruitful? But yeah, it's fun to kind of go in and study those flowers.
You know, I'm even just thinking about so much of, we're not just blooming for our sake, just for ourselves to be beautiful. The blooms are really like to be, again, a fragrant offering for other people and for the Lord. And I just love, the Lord speaks to me so much through nature and through his creation. He is such a creative God. And something else that you say in the devotional is that women in the world today occupy critical places in history, yet many of us toil and spin, anxious and overwhelmed by the pressure to find purpose in this never changing culture. Mm-hmm. So I imagine you have quite a bit of pressure, and every woman listening does. It's just all different, no matter what line of work or what our stage of life or season of life is. So how have you learned to let go of this pressure, and how can we do the same?
Yeah. And that's, gosh, it's so tough, because in our culture today, everything really is about this filtered, you know, this picture perfect filtered life that we see so often. And so it really does spin us out and cause us a lot of times to compare ourselves to others. And I think the only way for me is to really make sure that I'm spending the time with the Lord, reminding myself what he says about me and not what the world says about me. I think that we have to be very cautious. I think that, you know, our social media platforms are wonderful, and they can very much help to promote, you know, what we know are good things, but they can also hinder us in a lot of ways. So I always, you know, try to share with my women, like, hey, you get up in the morning, you know, it's not about your phone. It's about going and spending time with the Lord, because the moment you pick up your phone, especially as mamas and wives, and no matter where we're at in our lives, we get on a spin cycle immediately going through the checklists of what we have to take care of during the day. And so I just, I really try to focus on my time with the Lord. But I'll tell you something that's really hit me again over the last probably 30 to 60 days. And in fact, in this, this morning I had my Bible open to, and in Acts, and, but going back to Joshua, it talks about, how before he was going to battle to Jericho, you know, the Lord called him to take off his shoes and worship as he's looking at Jericho, right? And he knows that he's getting ready to go. And so as I opened my Bible this morning, I've been back in Acts, and it was so cool because I looked down and here it was where it said, you know, even when Moses was up on the mount, you know, he takes his shoes off and he worships. And I think so often when we get into these spin cycles or critical places, or we're feeling anxiety or pressure, we need to just take our shoes off and worship. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds really simple, and probably people are like, oh yeah, that's great. But truly, I think sometimes it can be that simple. We need to take our shoes off. We need to worship the creator of the world, the universe, the creator, the lover of our souls, so that we can be united and reunited in a way with him, so that we can put the spin cycle off and get clarity in him and get rid of the confusion. And we just got to do it daily. I think we got to do it daily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a mindset shift. I think so often, like, our situation and circumstances don't change, but our heart posture certainly can. And you just mentioned confusion. And so that's something that you talk about in your book as well. So how do we go from confusion to clarity?
Well, I think, again, we always have to measure where we're at. Confusion, you know, the world sets us in emotion and in confusion. I mean, it's, you know, whether you're comparing yourself to somebody else's life or their career or their family, or, you know, whether you're getting distracted from a place that God has you. I think we need to really, that's where we have to go back and find clarity. And we have to sit down. We have to worship. We have to get into prayer. We need to seek wise counsel. You know, we need to put people around us that really do influence our lives, that can speak wisdom and discernment into our lives, and always focus us back on the prayer time with the Lord versus the time that we were, you know. There's so many times I can talk with people and they never point me back to the Lord, but there's people that I have in my life very specifically that I've gone through my time with the Lord. I've prayed, I've worshiped, and then I can go to the people if I need further counsel, that the ones really that will say, hey, let me pray with you. Let me point you back to scripture. Let me just listen. And that's where I think we find some of our most significant times, is when we really do go through those types of steps.
Yeah. As you were talking, it made me think about even, you know, okay, Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing, and who am I doing it for? To me, that gives me clarity. And it really is. It always goes back to the Lord. And if it doesn't, if something we're doing or our behaviors or actions or our thoughts don't, then it's like, okay, that's where the confusion is coming. Because God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of clarity.
Clarity. Yeah. Yeah. It talks about that specifically again in Acts. It was like the, even the Pharisees were saying, hey, if it's of man, it won't work. It's going to be a mess, you know, but if it's of God, you know, then it there's no way for it to fail, even when things we see, you know. So I think that's where we always have to set our sight, is on the Lord.
Yeah. You know, we just circling back just briefly, we talked about these roots and the blooms, and we talked about that, but you actually have a section in your book that is specifically that, where you encourage readers to look at their lives and take inventory of how strong and deep their roots are versus what sorts of blooms that our life is sprouting. Mm-hmm. So do you have anything else to say on that? Like, what does this look like practically in our day-to-day lives? Like, how do we really live this out, this roots and bloom section?
Yeah, I love that. Well, and I think the bloom section, the planting and bloom, you know, the roots and bloom in the book, I really do encourage women to get outside and discover nature, spend some time out there with the Lord, and, you know, get in there and start putting their hands in the dirt and seeing, you know, what they can form, you know, and really spending that time. I think putting it into practical terms again is really, you know, doing that fruit check. You know, there's times when you can sit down and go, how am I taking care of my health? You know, what am I putting into my body? What am I putting into my mind? Mm-hmm. You know, is this fruitful for me, or does it distract or detract from what I'm supposed to be doing from the Lord? You know, are we staying mentally, physically, and spiritually fit? You know, and the relationships that we have, you know, are they sharpening us, hindering us? You know, I talk about that also in the devotional. You know, there's so many different things, and, you know, there's a lot of good ideas, but there's God ideas. And so, you know, when you see something and you've got your hand to it and you've been praying over it and you believe it's a God idea, do you see the fruit from it? Do you see that it's actually going out and multiplying? And I think those are the things that we do have to take a regular check on our lives to see, and whatever's not, you got to cut it away, because he eventually will. Mm. And we all know he prunes us, and that's not a fun time. But I think when we can stay on top of the fruit checks, it's really important to keep us equally balanced in life.
Yeah. 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 He prunes us so we can bear much fruit.
And it That's
seem,
right.
may seem painful at the time, but there's purpose in it.
Yes.
So Sherry, when we let go of all this anxiousness and worry, the toiling and the spinning, what do you think can happen as a result? Like, what do you think is possible when we let go of those things?
Oh my goodness, everything is possible because you let that go. I think so often we hold on to so much with a tight grip that we're kind of killing and suffocating a lot of things that even God wants for us, but we're holding it so tightly that it's almost like he can't really even give it to us because it's become the God in our life versus him as God first and foremost, so that whatever he gives can go bear fruit and multiply through our lives. And so I think that really we have to be obedient to just open our hands and allow the Lord to work through our lives, to study our talents and our gifts and see how we really are going out and creating disciples, how we're ministering to others, how we're serving others. And really it's really about letting go and letting God. And at the same time, we do know that he does have a plan for our lives, and we need to be able to, when he does open a door, to walk through it, to make sure that we're not walking in fear or anxiety, but that we're walking in his truth. And so, you know, those are just a few of the things. And I try to really make that a part of my life, because there's a lot of things I've had to do in my life that are really would be and that are scary to most people, or wouldn't, you know, things that they wouldn't want to do. And I have to make the judgment call to walk through that door. So I think things like that are, you know, just really important to walk through on a daily walk.
Yeah. Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. And, you know, as we close, Sherry, I'm interested to hear, what do you think makes you significant, and how would you remind the women listening of their significance?
Well, I think what makes me significant is my complete reliance on God, because without it, there's not a whole lot going on. I think also I've come to a place in my life where really Acts 20:24 is my life verse, where it says in it that my life means nothing to me except for to minister and to witness to Jesus Christ and to finish my race. And so I think where I've come in my life with the past that I've had and the experiences I've had is that's really what I try to live by. And I believe that God owns everything. The Lord owns all of me. He owns my life, my testimony. He owns my gifts and my talents. And so it really is about the significance of serving him first and foremost with them. And I would just say to all the women that are listening is, you know, a couple of things that I've always found freedom in is purpose. Your purpose is your Lord and Savior first and foremost. And he says, go out and make disciples. And so when we can take off all the other stuff that we're looking at, trying to figure out how to do, and just realize that he's already got us and we're significant in a way that we go out and share the message of who he is and whose we are and what he's done in our own life, I think that gives us freedom. And I would say to them, continue to dream, continue to press in and pray and allow God to work through you what his will and desire is for your life. If the vision is too big, then it's probably from God. If it's too small, it's probably of you. So, you know, so those would be some of the things I would say. There is nothing that you cannot do if the Lord has it already in the plan for you and he's known you before you were born. So go for it and let God do his thing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Sherry, I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you. So how can we best do that?
Absolutely. Well, definitely they can go on and start to connect with us on the womeninmyworld.org. And there are 5 days, if they go on, there's 5 days of the devotional that they can get for free. They can download that and stay connected with us. And we're going to be putting resources up there and women's testimonies and so many cool things. And the other way they can stay connected with me is on my IG at Sherry Rigby. That's definitely a place for them to find me and stay connected. But probably those two ways are the best.
I will be sure to include those in the show notes. But Sherry, thank you so much for being my guest, for your honesty, and for encouraging us in our inherent significance and to consider the lilies of the field. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Sherry Rigby. We hope that today reminded you of your purpose and your significance. You can connect with Sherry at Sherry Rigby on Instagram, and you can also find her at The Woman in My World. If you are interested in show notes, you can head on over to at Rachel Adams Author on Instagram or Facebook, or you can visit rachelkadams.com to subscribe to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter. This bonus episode is the kickoff to the new season of The Love Offering, where we're going to be talking in more depth about my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Each week of the podcast, we're going to be diving deeper into a day of the devotional. And so tomorrow, my first guest is going to be talking about A Little Beginning Goes a Long Way. His name is Mike Novotny, and he is the author of What's Big Starts Small. I can't wait to share that episode with you tomorrow. So until then, until we meet again tomorrow, I hope you have a terrific day. And as always, remember to lead with love.